You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona. Yeah. Welcome back to the show, Mark.
Glad to be here, Jim.
What's going on with the stock markets, considering the Strait of Hormuz is open, it's closed, it's open to some people? What's going on?
Well, you know, I've been watching the moon as much as the stock market, the Artemis circumnavigation of the moon, and, you know, that's been, you know, really a sort of a life-changing experience, just watching that whole situation. In fact, we're alive and we can see this, so I have other feelings about what's really going on the moon, and we talk about this more in our newsletter, but it was a lunar week, and I had some nice compliments from some of our subscribers who say, well, you know, you talk about the moon, you talk about the seasonal cycles, and it seems silly until you find out they really work. So I'm happy to hear some, you know, positive input about that. In any event, the market, you know, is in a transition phase, so much as you say, related to what's going on with Hormuz and Iran. I think we're going to push our way out of it here, you know, and after a little more choppiness, perhaps, you know, we have a big up day. We went too far too fast, I thought, in trading on Wednesday. You know, you just get too much of a move too fast. But, you know, I think, you know, we were looking for some type of seasonal low, you know, and maybe this is tied to the lunar event that, you know, we were due for some type of washout. We got it, and we're sort of pulling out of it now, and we'll just have to see how it plays out, because we know we're playing this technically and cyclically, and, you know, we did come down quite a bit in the S&P, didn't quite get to that 6,100 level that I was looking for. We fell a couple hundred points short of that. That may have been enough. We're just going to have to, you know, watch the numbers here. But I think, you know, we've got, I think, a more accommodative Fed coming up if we get that new Fed chairman in. Everybody's so skeptical about what's happening with interest rates and the war. And I just think, you know, if you look at what happened a year ago in this time frame, we had the Liberation Day, a big washout in April. Everybody got, you know, bearish, and we ended up coming out of it. So I think we can draw an interesting parallel between last year and now. And I'm not predicting, you know, what the market's going to do, you know, 6 months from now or 2 years from now. But, you know, I think we might have seen enough of a short-term correction. And obviously so much of this is, as you say, you know, or related to the news, and something surprising happens. And I guess, you know, much as that Liberation Day event a year ago, and, you know, the war that started here in the last, you know, couple, 3 weeks, came as a surprise to a lot of people, but it sort of fitted the pattern that I was looking for, you know, a little negative period in the market, a little bit of a washout. And, you know, I'm leaning a little bit more bullish. You know, we trade, obviously, and we'll just see how it pans out. You know, the traditional summer rally couldn't be, you know, that far away. And, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm trying to give it the benefit of the doubt, because, you know, after all, I've been bearish for a while, and we did get a big washout. I don't want to be pounding the table here that we're going to have a crash. If we were going to have a crash, I think we probably would have already seen it. So, not to say something couldn't happen, you know, 3 or 6 or 9 months out, and we'll just have to, you know, monitor the numbers, and that's what our job is here as VR Trader. You know, I'm not trying to, you know, I try to make some longer-term forecasts, but, you know, the bread and butter is, you know, watching the market day to day. We took some really nice trades here in some individual stocks in the last, you know, 48 hours, and, you know, things that we had caught and had a nice big spike to the upside. You know, one stock, for example, we don't like to mention too many names, but Constellation Brands, which is in the beer and wine business, I think it was up 12 or 13 points today, and we had mentioned that stock, and it's beaten down, and it was one of Warren Buffett's favorites from last year that I had mentioned on these interviews, that, you know, we identified that it was way oversold, and so did he, and his Berkshire Hathaway ended up taking a position in it. So, you know, there's always something going on. Netflix, for example, had a big washout. You know, they were going to take over Warner Brothers Discovery, and then the deal fell apart, and we put that on our list, and the stock has had a nice recovery here as the market decided that without the acquisition, the stock would do better, and indeed it has. So, like I say, you know, we're taking rifle shots at, you know, situations, at things that look interesting, and, you know, trying to just make the clients some money.
Now, the big story for the last month has been crude. What's the story?
Well, I think I have to give the bear case more of the benefit of the doubt short term. I mean, I think you had the reason why it would go up. You know, obviously something blows up, I'm totally wrong in that. But, I would think you'll see, you know, crude back to 80 or even 60 before you'll see 200. You know what I mean? I don't think you got a political situation with the midterm elections coming up in November, a lot of pressure to get oil prices down. And I think that, not to say crude oil couldn't take off again, I had a longer term view that crude oil would go up on a longer term basis, but we've already seen a spike here, you know, based on the news and so forth. So I think the play of the bullish crude oil is sort of behind us here short term, at least I think until at least mid-year or into the third quarter. So we had played some of those big name oil stocks like Exxon and Chevron and did well on those, and we took profits. We're not in them anymore now, and not to say Chevron isn't a good stock, it pays a nice dividend, but my gut feeling is you've seen the play here, crude oil, at least for the near term. So I wouldn't be, you know, again, famous last words, right? Something dramatic happens in the Middle East and I'm dead wrong, but I think you had a washout, you had a big blow off top, and originally a washout and then a big blow off top, and now you've pulling back again, and I think the bull move is sort of over for now.
Usually in times of trouble, gold becomes very popular. Why not this time?
You know, we talk about gold a lot, and I'm a bull long term, but I would have said the same thing to you if we had an interview 30 years ago. You know what I mean? I would have said the same thing then as I would say now. You know, long term, you know, is a great investment. But if you look at the chart, you had a blow off top. Technically, you had that in silver. Now the bulls have to, reassert themselves. We got to see chart patterns that say, the bottom is in. We had some type of bottom here. It looks like a tradable bottom, but, until that gold gets above 5,200, 5,300 and stays there, and silver above that 90-95 area and stays there for a while, you know, this could just be a bear bounce, not to say we won't have a little bit more of a bounce at it, but the bulls really have to prove themselves on the charts, because it sure looked to me like a blow-off. If you remember what I said, you know, going back in January when we asked about silver, and this seemed before it went over 100, I said, well, you might see 100, but you're going to see 50 later. So we got back down to about 60, 65. The question is that enough in silver, or can we still go back to that 50? And gold still has that potential 3,500 level on the charts, could theoretically be corrected at some point. So, my gut feeling is it could probably trade up here with the stock market. It seems to be moving in sync with stocks, risk on sort of mentality, you know. So if the stock market does better and the Fed cooperates and the politics come in with regard to the midterm elections, you know, I would say gold and stocks will probably trend up. But whether gold and silver are going to break out to new highs, that I can't really confirm yet. I think long term, yes. Whether it'll happen right away, I mean, you know, it took, you know, decades for gold and silver to do what they did here in January. And when you think about all the years that silver didn't go anywhere and gold just kept frustrating the bulls constantly, and finally it had its move. So I got a feeling it sort of exhausted itself short term, and we'll just have to wait to see if we break out and change that scenario. I think, you know, if you're long term, stay with it. If you're a trader, my gut feeling is it'll trade up, but not necessarily see new highs right away.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovitz right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, are we looking at higher interest rates because of inflation caused by this huge spike in crude?
Well, this is what all the economists are telling us. But if you look at the charts of the Treasury bonds and so forth, they're still trying to forge out a little bit of a bottoming formation. It means as the bonds rally, that indicates potentials of some lower rates. And I know the inflation scenario is a big potential negative, the impact of old crude oil and so forth. And, you know, I don't dismiss that those numbers haven't been factored into the economy and into the inflation numbers. Anything could happen here. But again, this goes back to my comment about politics and about the fact we already had a washout in the markets and you have a midterm election and all this new Fed chairman possibly coming in and so forth. So, I would rather bet that, they're going to bring rates down or they're not going to go up substantially. And whether the inflation numbers are going to confirm or not, that, you know, so many of these numbers, you know, I'm really a big disbeliever of the way they're calculated, where they omit. When you think about inflation, I mean, they don't even report, food and oil prices and stuff like that into the inflation numbers, you know, up historically. So the numbers are really crazy the way they even compute this stuff. So now they're telling us, oh, it's going to affect all the inflation numbers. Well, before they never, you know, imported important data into the numbers that would have given us a more realistic picture to begin with. So I don't believe the government statistics or the numbers that come out. And I'm not saying the impact of crude oil isn't a negative, but it could be alleviated pretty quickly, particularly if oil starts to come down a bit. And keep in mind here in North America, I mean, between Canada and the U.S., look at all the oil that we produce here. We're sort of independent of what goes on in the rest of the world. It's really China and Europe and so forth that are suffering more from this than us. I know gas prices have gone up, but they could drop pretty quickly as well. So we're just going to have to, you know, monitor it. I'm a little more bullish than most about, you know, the near-term outcome here. I just think, you know, the powers that be are going to give us a better stock market and, economic data as we go forward here. It's political suicide for the Trump administration, for example, if things really turn super sour here. And, so much is politics. So, but again, you know, we had the washout. We had a big black swan event with Iran and the war and crude oil spiking to 120. And, you know, if we talked December, January, you know, I was a little bearish, if you remember, looking for a sell-off into March, April. And now that we've had it, I don't see the reason why I should be pounding the table on a bear case right now. So we'll see how it unfolds into the summer.
What's going on with copper?
Well, all the metals, you know, had the washout. You know, platinum, palladium, lithium, uranium, they all had a correction here. They're all coming down from spike highs. So like anything else, I think they're going to recover. You know, they had, a bit of a correction, you know, big name stocks like Freeport, McMoRan, and so forth, had a correction. But overall, I think, you know, copper has held up a little bit better than most. So I'm a bull. I think, you know, the pullback was a buying opportunity here. So, a lot of money is being spent, you know, and a lot of the high-tech stocks have pulled off, but the government is still behind, you know, infrastructure expansion, nuclear facilities, energy independence and all this kind of good stuff. And, you need copper for that and you need a lot of the metals for that. Now, maybe not so much gold and silver, though you could argue that's also possible, but, you know, a lot of the industrial metals, you know, rare earths, the base metals and so forth. So, you know, I'm looking at the chart on Freeport, which is, you know, I guess a good, you know, comparison to the copper market, and you had a shakeout and now you're rallying again and you're not that far away from making new highs. So I would stick with copper and Freeport. I think they're going to go higher.
What's going on with uranium?
Same thing. If you look at the ETFs for uranium, we had a, you know, big blow off top, so to speak, I guess you can call that. That was back actually in January, just when gold and silver topped out. Then a big correction, and now we're sort of coming off a little bit of a, you know, a trading bottom. So we'll see, if it continues to expand here. It looks like a little bit of a bottom to me. You know, we had a big correction in it. And you got, you know, companies like GE Vernova, ticker symbol GEV, which is, you know, seems to be targeting $1,000 share level, and they're in the business of making reactors and stuff, not only for, you know, nuclear, but also for natural gas. And this is all getting down to the industrial expansion and government support for energy independence and so forth. So, nuclear is still very much part of that. And of course, you know, uranium had a correction, but look how much of a move it had up. I mean, Cameco, you know, which is the big Canadian uranium company, as you know, had a huge move. I mean, it was a $20-$30 stock, and in, you know, January it got up to nearly $135. But since then, it pulled back to $99, and now it's starting to move back up again. So these things run in cycles, and I don't want to be a Pollyanna about things, you know, not changing. I mean, obviously things can and do change, but I think looking at the charts, we had the shakeout, so I'd give uranium and all the metals more of a benefit of the doubt here, at least in the next few months, and we'll take it from there. I mean, the charts look like we had the correction and we're coming out of it. That's the way I'm looking at it. So, but, you know, if the numbers change, we start breaking support levels and stuff like that, then when the cycles, you know, turn negative, then we'll have to make, you know, adjustments. But I think my forecast for the correction has, you know, within reason, has been pretty much fulfilled. So I think you got to be more positive here. Again, we'll react if things change and notify clients accordingly. So that's where we're at.
What's going on with Bitcoin?
Bitcoin is a little more tenuous. You know, they're having trouble getting the Clarity Act passed in Congress. And, so many of the cryptos were sort of dependent on this. And there's all these politics, and there's some concern about even the stable coin legislation. You know, apparently some forces don't want, I don't know if I'm expressing myself correctly, but there's a certain amount of earnings or return on investment that was anticipated with the stable coin, and some forces out there and are pushing against it. And you have to really read up on more on the legislation and who's putting up some friction about the passage of the Clarity Act and so forth. So I think if that passes, then you'll see, you know, the cryptos, you know, take off more. Now, you asked me about Bitcoin. Bitcoin is sort of the mother lode of the whole situation. You know, we had the big correction in it, got down to 60,000, and we're rallying back, you know, towards the low 70s. I could see 80 on the chart. And if we can take out that 80, 85,000 area, then maybe then you can start arguing, you know, there's a chance going back to the highs. But it seems like the chart pattern overall was a bearish one. We're retracing it, and the bulls are going to have to prove themselves above that 80, 85,000 level in Bitcoin to say, hey, that 60,000 level was it, and now we're going to new highs. In the absence of that breakout, then the risk is you can go back through that 60,000 level, you know, in the months ahead, and perhaps even go a lot lower than that before we have turns. You know, there's periods of extreme volatility in Bitcoin. I mean, just huge percentage changes. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me on a theoretical basis. You know, you got up to 126,000, you go back to 30,000, and then go back up again to 126,000 over the next year or two. I mean, that's the kind of volatility is behind Bitcoin. But in terms of all the other cryptos, so much of their short-term futures related on this Clarity Act and other stuff. So I'm more bull looking out, you know, a couple years or more on all the cryptos, because unless something really changes, the whole plan was to get these incorporated into international finance and all kinds of medium of exchange for all kinds of activities. And they just sold these plans on the drawing board for all the cryptos. But it's sort of a multi-year comment, and there's a big change in the financial system underway here. So I'm still a bull long-term on crypto, but if you're trading a Bitcoin or any of these, you have to understand we're still in a very volatile market right now, and a lot of it is unfortunately related to government legislation and so forth. A bull overall, short-term question mark about whether you should jump right in here or not. I like to see that legislation go through, and some of the cycles are indicating that you know, if this rally fails in Bitcoin and we really can't break out in the next couple, 3 months, there might be another downward sell-off, and that would probably be your big, big buy point if we got another washout ahead. So it's more of a trading comment is the only best answer I could give you. This is not like, in my opinion, like, you know, buying a blue chip stock that pays dividends. If you sit long enough, you're going to be okay. I mean, just too much volatility here, too much political pressure. So, but you know, my overall feeling is bullish long term. Short term, you know, between now and year end, there's a question mark about the swings that Bitcoin and some of these other cryptos may have to undergo before the air is finally cleared and the runway is clear and they can really start moving higher, which I think is the long term forecast.
Are you excited about the SpaceX $2 trillion IPO? Apparently, only about 5% of that will be available to the public. Is that a concern?
Well, I'm optimistic because it's a huge, it's a huge offering, and it's, you know, it's supposed to incorporate AI and not only, you know, financing a trip to Mars and all these other kind of great things that Elon Musk has planned for us. It's, there's still going to be an opportunity for investors. I mean, if you're an accredited investor, meaning you had, you know, met the accreditation rules, there are in private investment opportunities out there. I know a lot of people, I read about what they're doing, and it was available. I mean, there are various funds, private funds, that took positions in SpaceX, along with other venture companies that private investors have been invested in here for the last couple of years. Even big-name companies like, I think, Google took a investment position in SpaceX when they were first starting to raise money, you know, a couple, 3 years ago, and they have a low-cost base. So when the IPO occurs, there's going to be a big win for some of those players. As far as the public is concerned, you know, it'll come out, it'll trade like NVIDIA or any of these high flying stocks, but there'll be pullbacks and opportunities to get into the market. So if you don't get in, on a pre-IPO or a private, well, I don't know, pre-IPO, I think there was some talk about offering, public investors some opportunity to get in before the public. I don't know if that's happening or not, but even if it doesn't happen, you know, even after it trades, I don't think it's going to die, and I think there'll be an investment opportunity. They could always split the stock and so forth. So, there's a lot of high-flying stocks that take off, and they have shakeouts, and they give the average investor an opportunity to get involved. But I think overall it's good for the markets, you know, that a big offering like this can occur, and that this kind of technology could, be funded, and we can move on with AI and move to Mars and all the exciting plans that Elon Musk has on the drawing board, including robotics and all kinds of stuff. He's really more on the Tesla side. But there was some talk that some of the Tesla investors may also participate, and that really hasn't been clarified yet. So the world of Elon Musk is far from dead, you know what I mean? And I'm still thinking there's going to be opportunity, but, you know, obviously if you could have gotten in on a, you know, private placement with, and there are some funds you can still do it, but I think the price, if you can get in as an accredited investor, I think they're pricing it so high now with the anticipation of the public offering, I don't think the risk reward would be there like it was a couple, 3 years ago, but there were some private, you know, funds out there, and you can research that offered accredited investors an opportunity to participate in SpaceX, and they may still be available.
Excited for the return of Artemis?
Yes, but, you know, I'm disappointed for a lot of reasons that we didn't actually go to the moon, land there, and the fact that there's so much been shenanigans in the last 50 years about not going back to the moon, and we could spend 2 hours, and that'll probably turn off a lot of our listeners about what I really think has been going on with the moon and the space program and NASA for these multi-decades. So the bottom line is I think we've been lied to for a long time. There's a lot of secrecy involved with regard to the fact we didn't go to the moon. There's things we're not being told that probably had been seen there, or things that we've done there that we're just not disclosing. And that's my personal opinion. You know, a lot of it is intuition, a lot of it is hearsay, rumors, research, things, testimony of people that have claimed to have seen and done things. So on the one hand, I'm very happy that the Artemis occurred, and I'm happy that the space program is alive, but I'm unhappy the fact that I don't think we're being told the full truth about what really has gone on or has happened with the moon exploration in the past 50 years. It's got to be odd when you think about it, that all these years have gone by and we haven't gone there. I mean, why would that have happened? So, you know, astronauts supposedly saw things there that would scare the dickens out of the public if we were told the truth. And this comes from the words of astronauts or implied comments coming from them. And there's just things that really sit, you know, uncomfortably with me. You know, I'm very distrustful of NASA and the program and the delay that we've had in all these decades. So I'm happy about it that it happened, but this is like the UFO cover-up. They're just things that we're not being told. So I'll leave it at that.
To me, the most exciting thing was the astronauts said they saw the bright flashes of meteorites impacting the dark side of the moon when they were there.
They sent some pictures of it. Yeah, they sent some pictures of that. It was fabulous. Yes, great. So, but you know, the Chinese have been to the dark side already. If you remember, they sent a probe up there in the last few years, and they already took pictures of the dark side. So the Chinese were ahead of us on that one.
But they didn't have people looking at it, Mark.
Right. But they did. They did make an effort to go look at the dark side. But anyway. And there's not much else I could say other than we get into a lot of conspiracy theories and stuff about it. But I've done a lot of reading and research, as I'm sure many of our listeners have as well. They can come to their own conclusions. But I think if you trust the government, that's probably your first big problem. So I don't trust the government about these type of reports. So I feel there's something being kept from us and has been kept from us, and that's my bottom line feeling. But I'm happy for the success of the mission, and hopefully Elon Musk has a lot of success getting us to Mars and so forth. And I wish nothing but, you know, positive results for all these endeavors.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks. Glad to be here, Jim. Thanks for having me.
My guest has been Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He was speaking to us from Arizona. If you have any questions for Mark or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.